And we're live, everybody. Welcome to Robo Taxi Day.
It is so exciting. I can't believe it. It's finally here.
It's finally here. Holy moly. So thank you very much for joining. I was just on Amit's channel, and we were just having a conversation. His entire chat thought I was on ketamine because I'm so excited. I'm like losing my mind. But
are they wrong?
Yes, they're fine. I'm high off of life, bro. But yeah, it's a very exciting day. I was on my way down to Capital Factory to work out of here for the day, and I went to drop off a package to get it shipped, and then as I was dropping off that package, I went on X before I recorded my video in the car to come down here. Then I saw breaking. A robotaxi spotted in downtown Austin. And I'm like, no freaking way. And I'm like driving, well, letting the Cybertruck drive me down to Austin. And I'm like recording the thing. And I stop recording. I'm like, oh my God, I can't freaking wait. So I go down there, I upload the video real quick. Then I'm like, I post up at the corner of Congress and Cesar Chavez, and I do a live stream. Like, I'm like one of these like a bird hunting people, like, you know, like these people with the hunting channels that are just like watching for deer and stuff. And I'm like watching all these cars go by, and this homeless guy almost gets hit by a car. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, what am I doing? And I'm like, it's too hot. I want to go inside. And so I went on Amit's channel, and now we're here hanging out. So, okay, you tell me.
So like, no luck, right?
No luck.
You didn't find one.
It seems like it's only just one. It seems like they only have one driving around. I don't even know if it's on the road right now. But okay, you share your thoughts, because I've been sort of on multiple sort of streams here. So you tell me how you're thinking about this, and yeah.
Yeah, so I've got a video that I'm trying to get live on YouTube right now, where I actually went and looked at, and I've got some of them pulled up here if we wanted to. Elon also has been replying to a bunch of the posts and questions. Obviously, the big thing is that there's no driver in the seat, and it's driving around Austin. It is testing. It is officially doing what Waymos do, assuming there's, you know, an actual customer in the car. I think that it's highly possible that we have already started the actual robo-taxi testing phase, whether it's one car today or 10 cars today. It doesn't necessarily matter. They could, you know, we're all looking for this big event to occur. And based on the number of people who are going to want to be participating in the first, you know, sets of rides that Tesla gives out, like, there's just incredible number of Tesla owners, enthusiasts, news organizations, like, you know, the total number of people when this gets announced that are going to flood Austin just to try and ride the first Tesla robotaxis is going to be insane. And if they've only got 10 to 20 cars for this first phase, it could be that they are doing all of this not even word of mouth, probably just like, hey, friends and family of a select group of employees, the network is available, use it as you want it, just to where they can keep the whole thing kind of under control while they're, and this is just under control from a total number of people trying to use the network at the same time perspective, not necessarily safety or anything else. So, I mean, this could be today. Like, we may be there already.
Very exciting, huh? And it's like one of those things where going into the week, you know, I think we have a group chat, and I was like, it was yesterday. I'm like, there's no way Tesla's going to launch this week. There's no way. Like, they're quiet about it. They didn't send any invitations. Nobody's hearing anything. And I'm like, eh. You know, we even scheduled a podcast on Thursday on the 12th because we're like, what is the chance that something's going to happen? And then lo and behold, a freaking robotaxi is driving around downtown Austin. It's so unbelievable. You know, it really does feel like, it feels surreal in a lot of different ways, because this is something we've been following for so many years. And the thesis has been out there for so many years. And to finally see a car out and about with a self-driving, like driving itself, the best-selling car in the world, driving itself out on the roads, it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. By the way, do you guys see that little link under Hans's? Look at this. This guy's very smart. Look at this guy.
Yep. Hey, if you want to buy a car that can drive itself as a robo-taxi, you can use the link ts.la/Hans71453 to use the referral link to get yourself a Tesla potential robo-taxi.
Zero shame. I love it. This is my favorite thing about Hans. He just takes it. It's in front of him. He just takes it. By the way, you know, one of the things that I was here, I was on Amit's channel, and the one guy was like, this guy has to be paid by Tesla. Here's the crazy thing about the Tesla community. We are all doing this because we love to, which makes us stupider than you think we are, because we're not even getting paid to do this. Okay.
We're all just crazy. Yeah, certified.
Imagine how dumb you got to be to do what we do, you know? Do you think that them doing this today is a signal that says they're farther ahead than people might think?
I think it's a signal that they are exactly where they said they are. So some people have thought that they're not going to be able to deliver on that. This is delivering on a timeline that Elon set. He said June. It's June. We're here. So I think that does, you know, that's going to be a lot sooner than a lot of people would have thought. That on the flip side, we've seen a lot of other people, the Tesla official account, Ashok, like a lot of other people have said, hey, this is happening. And so I've felt a lot more confident in this rough timeline. Like, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be the 12th or the 10th or the 1st or the 30th, but like June seemed like pretty high level of confidence that we're actually going to launch for a while now. So I would say it's not any sooner than I expected, but it is. Like, it's still exciting to be here in this moment.
Yeah, for sure. If you have any questions or comments, post them in the chat. I'm going to see if there's other people that want to come on and maybe join us for this conversation. I know there's obviously going to be a lot of excitement around this. So let me see if anyone wants to come on and join Hans and I. Here's the link. Hans and I on this live stream. Here's the link. Okay. And we'll see if anybody comes on. And then maybe a couple other people too. Yeah, do drop your, if you want to join. There we go. Yeah, very, very exciting. Very, very exciting time. What a exciting day for sure. Drop in the comment section below where you're from, where you are logging in from, chatting from, viewing from. I did not see one while I was downtown, unfortunately. Picking one self-driving Tesla out of thousands of cars downtown is going to be tough, but I'm still glad that I went down there and at least tried. Let me see here. So how important do you think the cheaper model is to the macro? I do think a cheaper model is very important because the oh my God, look at this. The Maverick himself.
Hey guys.
The Maverick. That link wasn't even in the chat. Sorry?
My valve amplifier has to warm up.
Okay. For
I'm an
for
old
like,
guy, you see.
Can you hear us or no?
I can't hear you. Give it.
Okay. So he can't hear us, but he's talking. you're live, Larry. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
You're live. That was the best introduction ever, right in the live stream. Hi, guys. It's Larry. I can't hear you, but I'll talk anyway. How are you feeling, Larry? This must be a very exciting day. How are you feeling?
It is an exciting day. Look, I posted that, you know, millions of us have just seen the value of our cars go up by some phenomenal amount. I mean, it'll take a while to realize that in full, but anybody who owns a Tesla, and I know a lot of people have been, you know, coming back to me and saying, yeah, but it's hardware 4, and it's going to be hardware 3 as well. I'm convinced of that. But I mean, the value of our vehicles have just gone up very significantly. And if people don't realize that and sell them for the used car prices of today, they're crazy, crazy, crazy.
I agree. I think, you know, it's the when we've made that statement in the past, and the people that have heard that maybe are not as close to the story as we are, their reaction is always like, "Oh, you're such a shill. You're such a scam artist. Yeah. Like, what are you saying?" Yeah. But it's like, okay, we literally just saw the best-selling car in the world drive itself. Like, what other conclusion can you come to?
You can't. No.
Right? Yeah. What do you think the speed of the rollout's going to be? Do you think this, so I know the Bloomberg's.
It's going to be slow at first and then very quick. I think it's going to be, you know, I don't know. Hans, I think you had a view on this, right?
Yeah, I mean, we did kind of talk about it just a little bit, that I think we are in a phase right now where it's going to be basically only friends and family of a small subset of employees of the company who have access to the network right now, just so that they can control the number of people that are trying to get on, just congestion at any one point in time. You know, this is absolute, 100% conjecture on my part. I don't have any inside information or knowledge on that. But just, I mean, if you can only imagine it, this one video that went out, there's now probably hundreds of thousands of people who are either planning on descending on Austin or already there, just to try and use this service so that they can get a taste of what the Tesla Robotaxi network is going to be like.
Right.
So like the amount of demand is just absolutely going to be insane. And Tesla's got to figure out how they do that and not make lots of people terribly upset. It's going to be quite the circus.
Yeah, I'm convinced of it. So I'm a happy guy today. I just really would love to know when they're opening it to the public.
I mean, I do feel like, knowing how quickly they want to move, I wouldn't be surprised if they do a very controlled, very, very controlled ride share like next week, super small. You know, I mean, you would have to think that all the cars that have been having out on the road with the test drivers for the last like year or not last month or two, I think, what was the sort of rumor or what we've heard is they've had these cars operating as Robotaxi already with the manufacturer plates. And then on top of that, for the last how many years they've been collecting intervention data from the broader fleet. So you would think all those pieces together should give them the ability to move quite quickly. You know, the speed of it is going to dictate how right we are about the thesis, right? Because the thesis is, in the same way that the capability of the vehicle exponentially grew, the availability of the vehicle for the broader markets should exponentially grow as well. So we should see Austin get much bigger, much faster, go into metro areas, go to Dallas, go to Houston, you know, go to the broader Texas towns. It'll never make it to Hans, unfortunately, because it's just too far east. You know, people hate people from East Texas. I'm kidding, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just drive over. I'm going to have to let my car drive myself to let a robotaxi drive myself.
Well, that makes sense, eh? So, So I think, I think the speed of the rollout is probably going to surprise a lot of people that are not paying attention.
This is what's amazing, guys. It's 6:10. And, you know, the rumor was all about 6:10. I had this morning poo-pooed it. I said, don't listen to that. That was just a rumor. Who knows what? And there it was, 6:10. The thing comes. Now, we know these things were driving around with drivers in them. You know, we saw a lot of that. But, wow, this is like, it's revolutionary.
It's like literally unbelievable. Like, it doesn't make any sense that the best-selling car in the world is driving itself right now. It makes no sense.
It's time. It's done. It's here. Shocking.
It's over.
Somebody replied to my tweet. They said, my post, they said, "I've been waiting since 2008. I bought my Model S in 2008 for this reason." And then I said, no, that can't be right. So I checked through Grok whether Elon said in 2008 that would happen. And yep, in 2008, he said it would happen in a year or two, admittedly. But there you are. I mean.
Really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really, really unbelievable.
Yeah.
I want to go on X real quick, and I want to sort of get caught up on some of Elon's replies here. I know he's been going on a reply tear here, so we'll see what Elon's saying. So let me know if you can see my screen. You should be able to.
Yeah, we can now. I can.
So there was a post from Elon saying that so replying to this video from Sawyer, which had the driverless right there, you can see there's no driver in the Model Y. So this is that video that we're talking about. In reply to this, so these are unmodified Tesla cars coming straight from the factory, meaning that every Tesla coming out of our factory is capable of unsupervised self-driving. Somebody made a comment saying, at the pace they are pushing FSD, will be 100 times better than Lewis Hamilton at driving around the racetrack. And he said, I don't know about that.
Not exactly.
Yeah. But Tesla AI autopilot could probably beat the best human around a track already. Eventually, it really won't be a contest at all. Human reflexes cannot match machines. So here we go, Elon riding high, making some very bold claims as per usual.
Yeah, but that claim is, I think, scientifically correct, but I don't think we're at that point yet, but I think we could reach that. We will certainly reach that point.
Yeah. And that's how Elon thinks. Like, for everybody who like listens to Elon and they're always like poo-pooing about why he's a liar, he's a scam artist. Yeah. I think these are the kind of claims they poo-poo. But in reality, what they don't understand is Elon always thinks at the limit of physics.
Yeah.
That's how he views everything through the lens of, is it possible? Yes. Okay, then we should be able to do it. You know, and there's nothing else behind it than that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So the next post, this is from Omar's. Shout out Omar, shout out GigaCast. Does the Robotaxi software have the 3 times larger model compared to 13.29, which is the latest version, or will we just get the 4 times parameters later this year? So Elon said, this is about 48 minutes ago, 4.5 times increase in parameters should be ready for wide release later this year. Super frugal use of memory bandwidth, caching exactly what is needed, and squeezing microseconds out of everything are needed to maintain the frame rate, and the whole system needs to be retrained. So Larry or Hans, do you guys want to give some commentary on what this means?
Let me give a little bit of context, because just before this, someone had asked, you know, is the Robotaxi model being used in the Cybercab the same one that we have? And he said, no, it's different. And so this is, and then he said that right now the one that they're using should be merged into the main branch soon. So he's saying that potentially customers should be getting the same model that is driving these robotaxis updated to just general FSD soon. You know, obviously this is Elon, so we don't know what soon actually means. And then he said in that then there's going to be this 4 times parameter increase that is in alpha right now, but it's taking a whole bunch of retraining. So that's kind of the background to Omar's question here. And then I'll have to let Larry then explain more what Elon is saying, because I actually have to run real quick and go get kids. I'll probably be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, we're in the very early stages of this whole branch of evolution. They've had this end-to-end neural net really for only about a year now, maybe almost 2 years. They've had to test it, they've had to experiment with it, and they've had to do it while bringing up a whole new server farm, a whole new data center, and using brand new equipment. And they've had to train it, you know, through this process. And they've had to test it and then re-release it. So we saw this, you know, plethora of releases going back now 8 months, 9 months from the mid of last year. And we saw that enormous jump in functionality as we got to neural nets. But this is version one of end-to-end neural nets. And you don't have to be a scientist or a physicist or a genius IT guy to understand that version one is always your worst. Must understand that right now it's the worst it's ever going to be. And so every release after this is going to improve. And Elon's giving us some parameters that are so important. The single most important parameter is the amount of memory that you have available in the cars. You know, people have been writing to me again, posting to me again and again and again. Oh, I've only got AI3 in my car, so I won't be able to get it. Wrong. You're going to be able to get it, because as we get to version 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, then they are going to be able to, you know, pack this down, improve the memory management, improve the how they actually are able to reduce the memory use, and it will work in AI 3. I'm convinced of it. But in AI 4 and late next year, AI 5, we're going to see even bigger improvements. So right now, as good as it is in our cars, and as as happy as we are, it's the worst it's ever going to be. And the thing is, it's going to get much better very quickly. We haven't seen a release for a long time. And the reason we haven't seen a release for some time is because they have been working very hard at this release that they're testing right now in the streets of Austin. And they haven't wanted to release it to us, or they haven't been able to have the time to package it and release it to us and do all the support and that is necessary in these big releases, because they're focused just on this launch. Once the launch is underway and things are successful, they'll release this version to us, but they're already working on this much better version. And they have a massive data center being built. I mean, a gigantic data center being built right now in Austin. That is going to, you know, turbocharge the improvements, and these improvements are going to go on and on and on. So I don't know if that answers your question, Fazal.
It sure does. It sure does. And I think another way of describing it too is, like, if you think about Waymo today, Waymo's capped at capability. For the Waymo to get better, they're going to have to basically reinvent the type of sensors they use, where they're placed, how they're used, et cetera, et cetera. With Tesla, it's a software update. Given that you have a chip in the car that can handle those parameters, right? Even in the worst case scenario, where AI 3 or the hardware 3 cars, which is most of their fleet right now, let's say Larry, you're wrong, and for some reason they can't do that, Elon and Tesla have already said they're going to upgrade the cars.
Yeah,
they're just going to upgrade the cars. The cost to upgrade the cars is worth it, because the amount of money they're going to be able to make from making a car go from not driverless to driverless is unbelievable. So even if it costs $30,000 to upgrade or whatever, it's still worth doing, because right. That car can go out
just,
there.
Yeah. I would just caution you, the upgrade is going to be tough. I mean, I know that he said they're going to do it, but it's going to be tough because of space and power and, I mean, just quite a lot, and energy and quite a lot of things, actually. And also just the connectors to the cameras, I can't imagine rewiring. Trying to figure out how they get to rewire. Anyway, I mean, Elon knows a lot.
My point is, whatever the effort is worth it. Because once you make a car go from driver only to driverless, you're going to make so much money with that asset. Of course, you're going to dump whatever it costs. Who cares?
And some people, you know, are not going to want to make money out of their cars, but they're going to want to have the full self-driving. So, I agree with all the above. I think that there are a lot of options, and the options will play themselves out in time.
Yeah, 100%. On the next post, where we read Robert Scoble's post, unlike other autonomous vehicle companies, Tesla has had its customers pay for the R&D, pay for the cars, do the AI training. The world is about to change deeply. I've been doing a bunch of consumer research by interviewing customers of Waymo, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the post goes on. And then Elon replies to that post. The streets will change very rapidly. Autonomous cars will be very common throughout the world in 2 to 3 years. And this sort of directly ties in to the approach that Tesla has taken with scale, where companies like Waymo and everyone else has done the unbelievable job. Let's make sure these companies get the credit they deserve. Solving for self-driving is unbelievably difficult. And a lot of these companies have achieved it, even in geofence areas. It is a feat of technology that they've achieved this. Their weakness it's like Waymo is the perfect example. Waymo can only make 2,000 cars per year, whereas Tesla can make 1.7 million cars per year, 2 million cars per year, 3 million cars per year. And these cars literally work the same way that the one that we saw in Austin just now driving itself. And so that scale differential is what's going to allow Tesla to go from cars that they need a driver to cars that, don't need a driver. And the wild thing is that no one's even going to notice because the cars look exactly the same that they do now.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's
unbelievable.
Yeah, somebody really did post. Somebody did post about Green's analysis of FSD 13. He quotes that the memory tripled from 2.3 gigabytes in V12 to a staggering 7.5 gigabytes in V13. If you think that's staggering, when can you see the 25 gig version?
But oh yeah,
you know, this is classic. This is classic in software. We've seen this happen. And I don't think that it's necessary that we're locked into 7.5 gig. I'm pretty sure that they're going to find ways to get that 7.5 gig down. I mean, getting the software out generally means, you know, being a little bit more liberal with memory management than you will ultimately be able to be. But the point is made. So it just gives you a sense of, you know, just how challenging this is going to be. And I'm sure that the version that they're running now, you know, that they will be running in Austin probably uses more memory. I don't know if they're going to be calling it version 14 or they're going to wait until this release late in the year to call it version 14. But I'm convinced it's going to need more memory. And boy, once they get that big training cluster up in the new data center, who knows? The sky's the limit, really.
All bets are off. And what's interesting about that, too, is like, Tesla's had line of sight to this for how many months now? That's like something that people don't really fully grasp is like whatever version you have in your car right now. I mean, that version was first birthed like 12 months ago.
Yeah.
10 months ago. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're all driving like really old quote unquote technology. And then you're thinking about the exponential wave that we're riding with artificial intelligence, the same exact thing applies to the cars. It's just very difficult to conceptualize and communicate unless you're physically behind the steering wheel and pedal of the car. So like Amit, for example, Amit just did a trip from New Jersey to Massachusetts, from Jersey to Boston, 10 hours round trip. He had zero interventions and he went into it thinking, he's like, you know, because it was the first time, you know, he bought a Tesla recently, first road trip using FSD. He's like, I'm curious to see how many interventions I'm going to have. He had zero. And he was like, I can't believe it, that it's even possible, but it's true. And that version's 10 months old.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, you know, 10 hours round trip doesn't really faze me. I do my 25-hour round trips to Starbase, and I can't actually recall the last intervention I had. Can you believe that? I'm trying. As you were talking, I was trying to conjure up which was my last intervention. I just can't, you know, I can't conjure it up.
Yeah, knowledge gap. That's the knowledge gap between people that drive Teslas on a daily and folks that don't have a Tesla, which is the gigantic majority of the population.
Well, we should say that you know. The AI3 cars and Cybertrucks and they're still prone to intervention.
Yeah, they still need work.
Yeah, they still need work, and I don't know, you know, how well the X does, because I haven't had my X for 4 months. Actually, it's 12 months now. Yeah, for a long time. So. I'm very excited, as you can tell. I'm jumping up and down. Yeah.
I mean, the 3 and Y are by far the best FSD cars out there for Tesla. And it makes sense because they would have the most data for those cars. You know, so it kind of makes sense that they would be the best performant out of their entire fleet. So let me go ahead and read this post from Dave Lee. Dave Lee, shout out. For those that followed the Tesla story for a long time, Dave is an absolute legend. We wish him and his family very well as his wife continues to fight through through cancer. I believe she just did her last round a couple weeks ago, Dave announced. So we wish him the absolute best. And I encourage everybody to reach out to Dave and his family if you can on X and wish him the best. We love you, man. I hope everything's going great. High likelihood, in my opinion, that Tesla signs an FSD licensing deal with at least one automaker by the end of the year. Will likely take a couple of years for the automakers to actually integrate the FSD hardware and sell the cars. But I think the announcement will be a surprise to most observers, analysts, because this will be a new line of business for Tesla, and not many people are expecting it to be announced so soon. The Austin Robotaxi launch could be a catalyst that gives other automakers the confidence to ink an FSD licensing deal with Tesla. I hope Jim Farley makes the right choice, which is the Ford CEO, and then Elon replied. The automakers keep being told that this isn't real, or that just buying some hardware from NVIDIA will solve it. As Tesla Robotaxis become widespread and their other solutions don't work, they will naturally turn to us. So what's your reaction to that, Larry? I mean, I'm sure
Those are pretty much the same words that I've been using for the last year. Yeah. I agree with Elon 100%. I really don't think automakers yet believe it. I mean, certainly the analysts don't. There are, you know,
They still don't believe EVs.
Well, that's true. But, you know, Gary Black is somewhat representative of them, and he's just saying, you know, they're not at level, whatever the level is, level two, they're level one, you know, but they got to get to level four, you know, and he quotes the, you know, the Bible on this thing. And so the automakers are even more conservative than that. And, you know, they depend upon their standard vendors, the Bosches and the Magmas of this world, who really manufacture the car, pretty much design the car for them. You know, I mean, the designers of the cars in the large OEMs today are as follows, in the following order: the purchasing department, number one designer, number two designer Bosch for all the electrical equipment and quite a lot of the other stuff nowadays, and other OEMs, you know, for, you know, top tier OEMs, they design the car. I mean, the engine is really designed and manufactured by most OEMs design and manufacture their own cars. But for the rest of the car, they have to turn to these guys because they don't manufacture that stuff anymore. And that stuff really determines the design of the car. And those guys are telling you, oh, we've got, you know, self-driving. We'll provide it and when it's licensed and da-da-da-da-da. Bosch have a system, you know, and so on. So these guys are not believers. And so, you know, they'll listen to the Wall Street. Wall Street will tell them, yeah, you know, don't listen to Tesla. You've got to have, you know, you've got to have these sensors and those sensors. And they so once Tesla becomes live and operational and it becomes clear, then the world changes.
That is such an important point. Like, literally, so Ford is not in charge of designing their cars.
That's right.
They have some say, but they are beholden to the supply chain, okay? And the surrounding structure that has...
Their purchasing agent. He tells them what they're allowed to buy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so the disruption, you know... The car and the self-driving technology is a
happened at the organizational level
between Tesla and everybody else. Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, repeat what you said for the last 25 seconds.
My apologies, everybody. So the disruption with the electric vehicle and the self-driving technology is a downstream effect of the disruption that Tesla has done at the organizational level. So at the top, where they have decided to go vertically integrated and actually design from the ground up for the systems that should go in the car, that is the actual disruption. The downstream effect is self-driving technology using eight cameras and an onboard computer and a AI brain at the headquarters and an electric vehicle that is profitable. Those are the downstream disruptions. But it all started because the CEO of the company, the leader, said that we are going to be in charge of actually figuring out how to build the best car. We're not going to allow the suppliers and everyone else dictate how we make it. We're not going to allow third-party companies to tell us how to do self-driving. We are going to design it. We are going to build it. And then we're going to ask everyone else to come to our side, okay? That is the actual disruption here. And that's why we are where we are, is because Elon and the management team and the board decided to go down that path.
Yeah, Rohan said it when he was on the podcast. He's like, we do important shit ourselves. And it's that philosophy applied to all of the important critical components that were necessary in order to create a car that can drive itself with just a couple of cameras and a PS5, essentially.
Yep. Yeah. But you know, Hans, it's not that Tesla doesn't use suppliers. They do. But they work very closely with suppliers in that they design the piece they want the supplier to build. And they help the supplier design the manufacturing line for that product.
You know, and they don't let that supplier dictate to them how they can use the software on that.
Yes.
Piece of
hardware. They write the software for it and they supply the chips for it. That's very important. Yeah. When I say they, Tesla write the software for it and they supply, in many cases, the chips for it.
Yeah. And that's the unorthodox nature of Tesla's approach. But in reality, this is like a perfect example of why the innovator's dilemma is a thing, is because these are the types of things that happen. And now, everyone else, like if I'm an executive at any of the legacy car companies and I watch what Tesla just did in Austin, where again, the best-selling car in the world is driving itself, I'm probably like, this isn't even real. This has to be a deep fake. You know, it's like, how is this even possible? Yeah. how is it that the lowest cost per mile SUV that happens to be electric is also the one that's driving itself? That's like, those two things don't jive, because in their head, they're trained to think crazy technology, premium, right? Yeah. Low cost means crappy. Tesla's like, no, we're going to do both. We're going to do both.
Well, this was wonderful to have been on this day with you guys, but I'm going to have to drop. It was good to see you both. Thanks, Hans. Thanks, Farzad.
Thank you, Larry. As always, Maverick Mind, check him out.
Thank you.
The Maverick Mind podcast. Thank you, Larry. Real quick, I want to pull up this post from Elon as well. And I think this is the one you referenced, Hans, from earlier. What software version do these cars have? Is it the same version as what we're using on our hardware for cars? Or is it a newer version that will be available to us soon? At Omar's blog, shout out Omar, shout out Gigacast. It's a new version of software, but will merge to main branch soon. We have a more advanced model in alpha stage that has 4 times the parameters, but still requires a lot of polishing. That's probably ready for deploy in a few months. So once again, Hans, for those of us that perhaps don't understand some of the words that were just said, and or in combination of each other, can you help us understand what this means?
Yeah, so the software that robotaxi was using to drive itself around Austin today is unfortunately not the software that is on my hardware for Tesla Model 3 or your hardware for Cybertruck or anyone else's hardware for Model Y. It's certainly not the software that's running on Hardware 3 cars today. So it is updated software. They've been working on this. I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why we haven't seen very many software updates pushed out to customers in a long time, is because they're focusing all of their cutting edge development of the FSD software right now on the robotaxi platform specifically. And then once they've kind of got some of the kinks worked out of it and they get through some of the complexity, like, just, you know, all of their focus right now is on robotaxi. Once we get on the backside of that and some bandwidth opens up, then they'll probably roll this back out to customers, which means that we will be the direct beneficiaries of all of the hard work that goes into the robotaxi software. And then they have a much more advanced piece of software that's in the earliest stages of testing that uses a way, 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 way bigger neural net in order to do all this processing that they're working on. Elon thinks it'll take them a couple of months to get that actually rolled into, I'm guessing, ready for deployment in the robotaxi network in a few months, and then it would probably take even longer to get that into customer cars. But when they, you know, they're really pushing the envelope on trying to see, can we continue to make the system better by just increasing the number of parameters? Like, there's a whole bunch of different things that you can do to make FSD work better. Increasing the parameter count is one of them. It's also one of the most brute force methods of doing it. And so you can kind of discover what's possible by doing that. And once you discover what's possible, then you want to figure out how to do that again, but smarter, and use less energy and all kinds of different stuff. So yeah, that's probably what is going on there. I don't know. You know, we had heard that they were working on a model that was going to be 3x parameter count increase and a significantly longer context window, which just means that it's thinking about what happened before further back. And, you know, it kind of has, it's not memory in the way that we think of memory. It's like short-term memory kind of, that it's increasing. And so I don't know if those things are already in this model that is running on that hardware for RoboTaxi today, or if we're just getting the context length, or if we're maybe just getting the parameter count in there, and then we're going to increase the parameter count again. But we'll get some more of those details, I'm sure, in the coming days and weeks.
Thank you very much. Let's see. What's the next one? Is that the last? I think that this might be one of the last posts, replies that Elon has done. Yeah, I believe so. That there's that Steve Bannon one where he goes, Okay, anyway, we'll save that for a different stream. Maybe with Emily tomorrow. Shout out Emily from Undercurrents. She's coming on tomorrow on our pod, and I'm very much excited to talk to her again. So, okay. Let's just start a little bit of Q&A. So if you guys want to ask your questions in the chat, we'll pull them up and we'll go through. Somebody was like, do the latest tweet from Gerber Kawasaki next. And I just saw it and I'm like, no.
Where's MKBHD? I want to see the shaved bald head.
Shave your head. Wait, so was the bet that there won't be a cyber cab or there won't be a self-driving car?
I don't know. Hey, someone in the chat, find the original post and link it in the replies here and we'll bring it up.
Tell us.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. well, you already know. If you have a question, type question in all caps with colon and then your question. So it's easier to pull up your questions by typing question before your question. Drop it in the comment section below. We are live on both X and YouTube. You do have to be a subscriber to be able to post, at least on YouTube. So go ahead and drop those down. Do you think, and oh, here's the first one. So that's perfect. Took no time. From Kiel Boy, the biggest hurdle to me seems to be parking by itself and finding a good place to stop. Do you think this new non-public version has made drastic improvements in this area? I would challenge that and say, I don't think parking is that difficult for the Tesla. I mean, it already has auto park. So it already knows how to parallel park. It already knows how to pull into driver spots. I know a lot of people that love the Tesla because the auto park is so good. We just had Andrea James on the pod and she was talking about how much she loves the Tesla because it parks itself. So maybe the logic of where to pull over might be the one that's more complex, or like where to stop so that it's context aware. But I don't really think it's, I think the much harder problem to solve is like unprotected left turns, you know, because to find parking by default is going to be a low speed. It's going to be very measured. You can take as long as you want. There's not going to be a lot of, like, there's no, like, there's, like the risk of like getting into some sort of accident seems very low, as long as you know what you're doing. And I think the reason why it's so hard for humans is because humans are just bad at parking. I don't think it's like it's a intelligence thing. It's just like, I don't know, like blind spots and mismanaging distance and stuff. So what do you think, Hans? How do you take that?
Well, my read is that he's asking, you know, because like FSD right now, it's inconsistent. When you get to the end of your drive, is it going to park? Is it not going to park? Is it going to pull you up to the front of the store? Like, what's it going to do? And then when you're activating it from go, sometimes it doesn't want to actually start moving.
I see.
So that's my guess is what he's referring to. I definitely expect big improvements in that functionality of like what's actually included in the FSD stack for the RoboTaxi. I mean, they pretty much have to fix that in order for this to be functional as a RoboTaxi vehicle. So I think that that's got to be part of what they have rolled in.
Got it. Question from Ferdinand. What do you think is in store for my December 2017 Model 3? What and by when? Is that a Hardware 3?
It might be Hardware 2.5. It's hard to say. So, I mean, if you haven't, this is the thing that people don't understand. If you have not paid for full self-driving either as a subscription or bought it outright on your car and you have one of those older vehicles, it is on Hardware 3. Okay, so that's good. There are people who have Hardware 2.5 and they're like, I want a free upgrade to Hardware 4. Like, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen if you haven't already paid for FSD outright. And if you did, you would already have Hardware 3. So on his car that already has Hardware 3, I think that they're going to continue to improve. Like, there'll be a version 13 equivalent that'll go out to Hardware 3. It'll just be behind the Hardware 4 cars by probably 6 to 12 months for a while. And eventually they will probably do some sort of an upgrade for the hardware itself. The thing that I've been speculating for a long time is that by the time they're ready to do that hardware upgrade, they'll actually be manufacturing Hardware 5 chips already, or AI 5 chips. And so they'll take the AI 5 chip and they'll make some modifications to its power requirements and put it on a board that's actually compatible with the Hardware 3 computer slots, because the Hardware 4 computer doesn't fit and it doesn't connect to all the same connectors that the Hardware 3 computer does. So like the Hardware 4 computer wasn't backwards compatible with the Hardware 3. So you're going to have to make something new anyways in order to attach to that Hardware 3 spot. And yeah, my guess is it's going to be an AI 5 computer that is nerfed and then made compatible with those connectors. The question is, do they do anything to the cameras too? And if they do something to the cameras, is the current wire harnessing up to the task of actually communicating all the data that's coming in from those cameras to the board? Because that's really the big difference between the Hardware 3 and the AI 4 system, is that there's, you know, significantly higher resolution on those cameras, which means there's tons more data that's actually being communicated to the chip, and then the chip is processing. So yeah, that's the, like, if the wiring between where the cameras are located and the computer is not up to transporting that data, that's going to be a problem. I don't really know at this point in time what the solution for that is going to be, if it is a problem or if it's not.
That's super in depth. Thank you for doing that. Question: why is Han so amazing? Because he has autism. It is. Because he's great. Because he's super smart.
The real question is, why is Joe so amazing? And yes, the second real question is, will Joe be wearing the big hat on Friday again?
He better. He better. Shout out. Tesla Owners Club with San Joaquin Valley. Do you go on their live stream
on their Friday streams? Yeah.
Yeah. Go make sure you check them out. Hans is out and about freaking doing live streams everywhere. This dude's just a monster. Let's do the next question here. This is like the trillion dollar question. When will RoboTaxi be realized on the bottom line? What year, what quarter? So I think, okay, how about this? What day, Hans? What day will RoboTaxi be realized on the bottom line? Give us your best, you know, estimation. I'm kind of kidding. Like
December 31st, 2025.
Okay, fantastic. So, I mean, so that's a big thesis. Like, that's a big, like discussion, right? Because when I was on a MITS stream, you know, the question that came up is like, okay, like, how, like, the valuation is still a few years out, no? And I gave him a hard time because I'm like, you're over here sitting talking about Palantir when they have $1 billion of cash flow and a $300 billion valuation, and you're asking me these questions? Excuse me, right? So I think, you know, I think it's a great question, but I do wonder if the market might just pull in the same way that the market has brought forward future cash flows for Tesla with every step change that they've made. I wonder if this becomes more of a the market will define some sort of like $3 trillion, $4 trillion valuation for the business. And then as the company gets closer to hitting that market cap, then or that as they start generating earnings at the trajectory of the earnings, maybe that price becomes solidified and maybe it goes higher from there. So how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really the price is going to be a function of how fast revenues are growing, how fast, of course, earnings are growing, and, you know, what is the gross margin on these software services. So it's really hard to say what, you know, like the PEs that get assigned eventually will be a function of those things. Like we'll probably overshoot in the near term, but then they're going to be at very aggressive levels of growth for a long time. So at some point we're going to be into kind of a steady state growth PE where as long as they continue to grow earnings, then the stock price will continue to move upwards. And then it's a function of, okay, you know, what do people think the ultimate TAM is? I mean, I know we've been talking for a long time about what are all the competitive threats from Waymo and, you know, BYD and different people who are going to try to compete in robotaxis. But it's also important to remember that there's potential other things that can compete in a lot of the types of markets that we're wanting to expand into. So like Zipline is a cool company that's doing a lot of drone delivery, and they've really finally kind of figured out the technology, and they're working closely with the FAA. They're kind of golden child status with the FAA. They're operating in Dallas right now, and they're flying drones to people's houses and dropping off packages that are up to 5 pounds in weight. They have delivered like millions and millions of packages since the founding of the company. And so I know like this is one of those things that a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the Tesla Robotaxi plus Optimus is the perfect delivery vehicle. And so maybe not. Like there's other technologies that are solutions to some of these problems. Then all the Archer and Joby, like these air, you know, electric vertical takeoff and landing taxis are going to kind of be entering the market too. So there's some other competitive threats that are out there that exist that are startups that are going to be disruptive to just the overall way that stuff gets from point A to point B that Tesla's going to be competing against. And I think that's something that we in the Tesla community haven't really thought through and process. We've been thinking about it kind of within the box of the stuff that exists today, not what is the technology that's about to be here that's also going to be encroaching on the markets that we're talking about growing into. So that's going to impact that a whole bunch too.
Perfect. Let's do the next question. Do you think the front bumper camera will be required? Very good question. What do you think?
Man, we need somebody who has a special photography setup to go out and catch that robotaxi again and see if it had one. I think that will be the one and only way that we're going to get an answer to that question.
All the new Model Ys have it, right? The front camera, the bumper camera.
Do the brand new ones have the front bumper cam?
Don't they?
I can't remember. This changes. Chat, I should let us know, but I don't remember.
Yeah, we should. Like, this is like we'd really be looking dumb right now. Like, how do we not know this for sure?
But Hans is so amazing. How could he look so dumb?
Well, because, you know, maybe we're just gassing you up.
Joe set me up.
There you go. I want to say, okay, let us know in the comment section below if it does have the.
I know the CyberCab had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if the new Model Ys have it. It's definitely like, I think it's a good idea at the very least.
Yeah. So this is a very interesting from NASCAR All Out. So he said, let's be realistic. Tesla is a decade behind Waymo and they're using vision only cameras to try and solve FSD. why use the same flawed system that humans use, vision only? So my argument to that is that it's not the eyes, it's the brain. And it's not the eyes, it's how often you are using your eyes to actually look at what's going on. It's not the eyes, it's this, right? 50% of all accidents on the road are distracted or drunk, okay? And the other 50% is human error. It's not like, oh my God, my eyes didn't see it. It's like, oh, I wasn't looking in the right direction, or I was distracted, or I made, you know, put the gas instead of the accelerator. I turned faster than I should have. I was going faster than I should have. I ran a red light, et cetera, et cetera. It all comes down to the head, right? So it's not an eye issue. And not only that, the Tesla has 8 eyes, 9 eyes. We only have 2, and we have to use our necks to move around, right? So I just want to make sure that gets addressed, because it's an interesting question, and I think it's a fair question. But that's a misconception behind the technology. It's like, that's when like people talk, it's like, well, then it's LiDAR. Like, does it really? Or is LiDAR just a crutch that other companies have used because the AI piece is too hard? The camera piece is too hard. But Tesla has taken that on, knowing that if they solve the camera piece, then they can manufacture millions of units per year. And that's why they've been behind. But in reality, they've been building the scale. I saw a comment today, someone was like, they have pre-scaled the business. And that is the best way to think about it, is that Tesla has pre-scaled the business. And while they're working on the hard part, they were putting all the cars on the road.
I mean, people say Tesla is 10 years behind. 10 years behind what? Like, Waymo doesn't have a business with unit economics that scale. So, you know, proof, like, Waymo is a cool technology and it's a great proof of concept. It's not a business.
Yeah.
Unit economics matter. If you want to have millions of these things on the road, they have to be A, cheap to manufacture and produce, and B, be able to operate cheaply as well. And Waymo doesn't, like, if you have to have HD maps in, or like, the thing about LiDAR is, if you want to use LiDAR, at least in the current setup, if you're Waymo, your LiDARs come along with HD maps. Who's going to go around and create high fidelity HD maps of every square inch of Earth all the time and keep it up to date? That's a heck of a lot of overhead. Humans sure as heck don't do that. We just use our cameras. And I think biology has already solved this problem. And, you know, I personally am not going to bet against biology and evolution.
Yeah, it's like saying, like, Max Verstappen or Lewis Hamilton can't, like, they are somehow flawed drivers, and the AI system will be able to do what they're. Let me back up. Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen are both F1 drivers, and they're extremely very good at driving. These guys, I don't know if anyone in the chat watches F1. I'm guessing there's probably a lot of F1 fans, because it seems like engineers love F1. These guys talk on the radio. And they talk and they think about all the nuances for their vehicles while they're driving 200 miles an hour and pulling like 3 G's lateral. Okay, these people, these are like the craziest people on the planet. They have literally the same eyes and brains that we all do, and they can do that. Okay, the AI system is going to do the same thing. It's going to do the same thing over time. It just needs more compute.
And the reason that that's possible is because of the intelligence in our human brains. And that's always, like, regardless of what sensors, you could strap LiDAR onto those people's heads. They're not really going to be able to drive any better because their intelligence is to the point that they don't really need the LiDARs. And that's the, you know, that's to go back to what you were saying earlier. The reason that Waymo was depending on LiDAR is because they couldn't make their AI brain smart enough to drive.
Right.
And so, this is the core problem of solving self-driving is making a driver that's smart enough, not a driver that sees in other forms of light waves that we don't see.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's do a few more here. Do you think Optimus is capable of entering and exiting a Model Y yet? I don't know about yet, but next 12 to 24 months, seems like a use case for it. And the reason why that's a big deal is, you know, one of the weaknesses that some people might highlight about doing a robotaxi is, like, well, you're going to have a lot of peak trough issues where most of the rides aren't Fridays and Saturdays, but the other days you have a big discrepancy. So how are you going to maintain a fleet that meets demand? And it's like, well,
only you could have a market where people could be incentivized to contribute their cars to the network when they could make a lot of money by solving peak usage. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Stop it. What are you saying? You know, so that's one. And then the other one is those same cars that, like, let's say Tesla decides to go heavy on their own cars. What's stopping them from letting Amazon use those as freight vehicles from location to location? I think I just went out again. Did I just go out again or am I back? Okay. Like, what's stopping them from going from location to location and just dropping off packages? Or Uber Eats, like an Uber Eats competitor. You know, it's like, well, you know, people are not going to want to go out to their car and pick it up and whatever. It's like, okay, well, there might be a market for people to just be able to buy food for 20% less. And instead of it showing up out of their door, they walk to the curb. And, you know, maybe they save $20, you know, on a $100 order. Dude, Uber Eats is so expensive. It's so expensive. It's so, like, I can't. This is the craziest thing about Uber Eats. It's like twice as much as what you would pay at a restaurant, sometimes more, and my wife and I still order it. Why is that? Because we don't want to, we're like, eh.
And then the food is not that worse. Great.
It's soggy. It's
not fresh, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, this is why Zipline is going to be so amazing for that specific use case, is because it'll take 5 minutes to get to your house.
Yeah.
And it'll be delivered, you know, right to your porch. So the speed that it'll get there, then of course it weighs less, so it used less energy to get there. So it'll, even in the case where a Tesla Robotaxi and Optimus could get it to you with no humans in the loop, it's still a much bigger car. It still has to travel on roads, which is going to be way slower, and it's going to use more energy than the Zipline solution. So, like, from a first principles physics standpoint, Zipline is going to be a way better to do food, way better solution to do food delivery than the Robotaxi plus Optimus.
And sorry, this is the drone company.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting about that use case too is, like, say even if Zipline wasn't like a use case, lowering the cost of transportation of food, like single unit deliveries, like these, like, so in if I think about my supply chain days in the warehouse, like a warehouse will always try, or a company, whatever, they will always try to optimize for bulk shipping, because the cost of doing a single delivery of a lot of items is a lot less than doing a shipment of one item to multiple people, right? Because then you're able to essentially put all that cost of delivery into and spread it out across a giant order than doing an individual shipment to everything. But when the cost of transportation becomes really, really low, either through Zipline or self-driving vehicles, all of a sudden
it changes all that.
It changes the math. And then in my head, I'm like, what's stopping me from just like starting a restaurant, a ghost kitchen? I buy, like, I don't know, 3 robo-taxis, like 3 cyber cabs, and I just literally just bulk create food. I just, the kitchen just makes the same thing for that day. I run a special on Uber or Tesla's food network or whatever, right? Whatever that app is that utilizes Tesla's network. And I just make that same food in bulk and I run a special, and then running that food out of the restaurant costs basically nothing. Because the cost per mile of that robotaxi spread across those orders is going to be like 5 cents per order.
Yep.
Why shouldn't I do that? That's,
and you should.
There will always be demand. And that's the thing. Some drivers right
you'll
now.
You'll make way more money doing that than being a content creator.
Yes.
Quit your day job. I
finally found my way out. But this is where people are not thinking about the long-term implications of this. That's the kind of business use case that's birthed out of this, where you don't have to worry about paying for someone's time. That car can just sit there for you and just wait for you to load it up. And the money that person would be making in that service, if that service existed, that person's probably not going to get paid more than, I don't know, $20 an hour. And how many kitchens are willing to take on that risk to do that themselves? It's going to be hard to do. But when you cut the transportation down dramatically, boom, all of a sudden... Yeah, exactly. Going to be deflationary AF. Exactly. The cost of food is going to come down because of self-driving vehicles. Logistics is one of the biggest pieces of cost of a food delivery. You know, like trucking stuff, shipping stuff. Because the per unit cost of... there's so much transportation costs in a banana. You know, or like, or something, you know, here in Texas, we get most of our fruit from Mexico, right? The reason why that thing's so expensive is not because it costs a lot to you know, fertilize the ground. You know, of course there's cost to it and pick it and stuff. Labor in Mexico is super cheap. It's shuttling the thing back and forth. That's where a lot of the costs are. So anyway, don't get me on a rant about bananas. So we did that one. I got like 5 more minutes, Hans. And I know you got to jump here soon as well. So
yep.
What's happened with the lower cost models? There's still 3 weeks left. We'll see.
Yep.
And those same cars are going to have the same thing the Model Y does. Oh, my goodness. I live in Rhode Island. Notwithstanding local laws, when will I be able to buy a small flock, use Model Ys, and manage a regional rideshare? I mean, it's dependent on local laws. But outside of that, it's going to be dependent on how Tesla approaches the upgrade cycle of those used cars. Like how long are the hardware 3 people are going to have to wait for them to get their cars upgraded? My guess, and again, only the ones that have purchased FSD with those hardware 3 cars are going to be the ones that are going to be able to get upgrade their cars, right?
For free. So
if for free.
Other ones exactly. can get it, but they'll just have to pay whatever the price is. And it'll probably be, you know, $2,000, $2,500, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's whenever Tesla's ready to open that rideshare service in your region, you know. And then my guess is once that happens, those assets are that car's going to appreciate in value dramatically. I'm actually very curious to see if this robotaxi launch is going to drive up the cost of the Model Y. If Tesla starts doing price increases on the Model Y, that's when we know that sort of like people are waking up to that reality. Where if you have a Model Y, the latest Model Y, you're going to be able to operate that as a robotaxi at some point. You know, so that, yeah, anyway. Here we go. Which version of FSD do you think will be able to autonomously go through the in-and-out drive-through? I have to disengage to put my order in now. Why wouldn't the current version do it? Maybe they just haven't trained it enough to do it.
I think it'll be version 16.9.4.2.
There you go. You got the exact down to the freaking fifth number. How long do you think it will be before we see the Cybercab on the road? Next year. And I'm feeling pretty confident about this now, honestly. Next year, 2026. What do you think, Hans?
Sounds, pretty reasonable. I think that the biggest. So. The question mark for Tesla around, you know, when did they try to ramp up the supply chain on this is, to your point, when can the market absorb hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these things in a year? And by launching with the Model Y, they prepare the global market to be able to receive these Cybercabs in volume. And so they'll be able to do the switchover of how, you know, what percentage of the manufacturing fleet that Tesla's making every year goes to customers versus goes into this ride hail network, and especially Tesla's wholly owned part of that network. And so yeah, that's what launching with the Model Y allows them to do, this smooth switchover where they're selling fewer and fewer cars into customers' hands, and they're keeping more and more for themselves and deploying them in, you know, different geographies. And then once that number gets to a certain point with the Model Y, then they bring in the Cybercab, start producing that. Eventually the Cybercab takes over the vast majority of all of those cars, and they go back to selling Model Ys to consumers. And so, yeah, sometime in the next 18 months, I think, is pretty reasonable.
Agreed. Can sales of cars go up by 30% CAGR in next 5 years due to autonomous drive feature? I mean, that's, you know, the long-term thesis of Tesla is that self-driving technology is so obviously inherently valuable. Apparently, I say forcing function a lot, Han, so I was trying not to say forcing function. But it's such a obvious thing that I find it hard to believe that there won't be a lot of demand for a car that can drive itself where Tesla can manufacture millions of units per year. I just have a hard time believing that. Now, of course, it's regulatory has to catch up in those regions, right? I think the United States is probably very well positioned for that, especially with the secretary being, you know, friendly to Elon. And even after the whole Trump-Elon fallout, it seems like the boys are at least amicable now. So I find it hard to believe that there won't be any negative repercussions from that. So what do you think?
I mean, you're talking about making a car at least five times more valuable than it is today from a like utility standpoint. I don't know how increasing the value of a car by five times per day doesn't drive at least 30% compound annual growth.
Last two. What is the next logical launch city besides those in Texas, California, or Arizona? Florida. Probably Miami, Orlando.
Yep. I was going to say the same.
And then
Not New York.
New York maybe next year. We'll see. Actually, I got one more after that one. Let's see. Which will come first? Other cities or unsupervised for all? I think other cities.
Other cities. Yep.
Interesting question, though. Because that's the other lever that people are not really thinking about. Is like, yeah, like people are thinking about this as like, it's an Uber thing, but it's not though, right? It is an Uber thing, and it's also a thing. And Andrea brought this up when we had her on. She was like, I'm not so sure that people are not going to want to own cars. They're going to want to own cars too, but maybe they'll buy the ones that drive themselves, so they don't have to drive them.
Yeah, you know? I mean, there'll definitely be some people in that camp, but. Once the price of the car gets down below a certain point, you know, it opens up whole new markets for people. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that can't afford to own a car. And if they could take what is essentially a taxi that is not only a taxi, but it's private and it's halfway decent and it costs them less than a bus fare, now you just like massively expanded the people who have access to using this transportation as a service. And, you know, those people are still not ever going to own cars. They couldn't own cars before, but now they get to actually move around much more freely. So that's going to be, you know, a huge part of all of this. And to answer her question a little bit, Sam, I guess Sam could be a he or a she, but
you better be careful, bro.
Yeah, we're
don't be misgendering.
This is DEI territory here.
Here we go.
Texas is such a unique state. That by launching here, so obviously, you know, they're going to be working in San Francisco very, very soon because all of the regulatory kind of environment is already figured out there. But when they launch in Austin, there's literally nothing that stops them from launching in other towns in Texas, as far as I know. They're like the state of Texas has prevented cities from putting up city by city roadblocks to this technology. And so once they are approved, they're approved. Now there may have to be some sort of coordination with local municipalities. You know, I know that they're like registering right now in Austin. So maybe there's a process, but that doesn't mean that the cities can just be like, no, you can't operate here. So because of that, I think we're going to see very rapid expansion within Texas to the other big metro areas. So Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, potentially even El Paso. I mean, El Paso is a heck of a long way from any of those. So I would think that, you know, Austin, Waco, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston and San Antonio, like none of those places are that far from each other. And they'll probably all have this relatively quickly. And I think unsupervised for all because of the liability challenges might take us a little bit. We'll see.
Fair. All right. Last question. Before we do that, your cousin Hans Graxner has become a YouTube member. Thank you very much, Hans. What do you think, Hans, about Hans joining the channel?
Hans power.
Hans squared.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, from KO $5 super chat. Thank you very much. MKBHD said he'd shave his head if Robotaxi comes out before December 2027. So does that mean he also has to like shave his balls because he missed it by that much, or what? What do you think?
Live on camera.
No, please. OnlyFans. Check out MKBHD's OnlyFans. Anyway, yeah, I mean, man, it is funny how much people have doubted this, because Elon has been, I mean, let's be honest, so unbelievably wrong about the timeline, and so have we. Let's be honest about that too. But I think it also highlights again that it's the when question,
right? Impossible. Is irrelevant. Just late.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So thank you, Sam. $2 super chat. You guys rock. You rock as well. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll end it there. An hour and 15. We did 3 pieces of content on the channel. Hans is freaking going all over the place. Daniel doing live streams. This is the beginning of an incredible time for the company. And I feel very confident in saying that, because knowing Tesla, granted that nothing bad happens and they're able to have a smooth transition from...
Some bad things are going to happen. Prepare yourself.
For sure. Yeah, it's impossible to avoid bad things.
I mean, even if Tesla executes flawlessly, we're going to have a huge FUD attack. So like, yes, people need to kind of, you know, steel themselves, prepare themselves. It's going to be choppy. It's not going to be a straight line. There's going to be lots of hit pieces. There could be safety incidents. Like, all kinds of things are on the table and likely to happen. And so, yeah, you know, better put on your big boy pants, because it's going to be a wild ride.
And if you've been following the company for a long time and the CEO for a long time, I'm willing to guess y'all probably already are pretty hardened, because you literally saw the CEO of the company tell the president of the United States, the sitting president of the United States, to a global audience that he's on the Epstein list. And that's the reason why it's not out. Okay? So if he can survive that, you should be able to survive this as well. But it's not going to be, nothing is smooth. I think Tesla investors and Tesla fans know this. Nothing is smooth. Especially related to this story. It's not your typical story. But then you also get days like today that you don't have those atypical weird things that happen with the story also give birth to moments like today, where you have the best-selling car in the world driving itself in Austin, Texas. And that's the good side. You'll get that. The Tesla story is you'll get 100, you'll get kicked in the nuts 1,000 times, and then you'll go to heaven for a day. And then you'll be brought back down, you'll kick in the nuts again for 1,000, and then you'll go to heaven again for one day, okay? That's the Tesla story. Just look at the chart. It's like death, oh my God. And then you're up here now, death, oh my God. It's like, you know, you're muted, by the way. Yeah.
It looks like this when you look back after a long time, but day to day, it's like, ah!
Yeah, and so, it's great. I think there's something wrong with us. I really think that like there should be a documentary on the Tesla community, the Tesla cult, as some people like to call us. Like, why do you guys love to hate yourself so much? Why do you put yourself
only
through that pain?
People more culty than Tesla investors is Tesla Q.
By a factor of 10. And then above that is Palantir. I'm kidding. Shout out Amit. Okay, everybody. Love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm sure we're not going to stop talking about this now. So today's the new thing. All right. Bye, everybody.